up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. To God be the glory for all the great things he has done. We praise the name of Jesus Christ this morning, the author and the finisher of our faith, our redeemer, even the bishop of our souls, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he which was and is to come. We worship you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we honor you in this place, Lord. We just praise you. We honor you. We worship you. We magnify you. We embrace your presence, oh God, because you are great and greatly to be praised. Good morning. My name is Minister Clarissa Tinsley, coming to you from the residence of my husband and I, Reverend Anthony Tinsley, coming to you on behalf of Piney Hill Baptist Church, where our pastor is Pastor Major Gilbert and our First Lady, Precious Lady Brenda Gilbert. Just so glad to be before you this morning. And we say good morning to you. Good morning to all of those of the Piney Hill family, friends of Piney Hill, those who have just tuned in this morning, and maybe you think by chance you happened upon us today, but I want you to know it's not by chance. But let's think of it this way. It's by divine design that the Lord would have you to tune in this morning to Piney Hill to hear what thus saith the Lord. Join me in prayer, please. Holy Father, we do worship you. We do honor you. We magnify you. We are so thankful this morning for the name of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus, for the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just embrace you this morning, and we are so thankful for the price that you paid, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you said, not my will, but thine will be done. So thankful, Lord Jesus, that you are interceding on our behalf, that you are Redeemer and Deliverer, Lord God. We thank you. And not only that, Lord God, you are Healer, Lord God, and you are Restorer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide within us, to even right now give us the comfort that we need, the peace that we need, the ears to hear that we need, and the heart to receive. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to minister the word of life this morning. And I pray, Father God, just for the anointing. I can speak many words, even your words, but it's your anointing that makes the difference. So I just thank you, Lord God, for your anointing wherever we are this morning, in our home, wherever we are, Lord God, I thank you for your anointing. In the name of Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is the same as last week, where I came to you with the title, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. And the subtitle of the message last week was Life in the Kingdom. Go with me to the scriptures, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your secret closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our focus verse, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As I mentioned last week, this is not a message on prayer, But I do hope that your prayer life will change and that your life will be impacted by what's going to be ministered to you today. Last week's title again, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. Subtitle was, last week was Entrance into Kingdom Citizenship. This week's title is Life in the Kingdom. So just for a brief summary from last week, I mentioned to you that Jesus Christ's central message once he began to preach was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His central message was about the kingdom of God and his presence being here, establishing that kingdom being at hand. And as we look through the scriptures, we see references to the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of light, kingdom of his dear son, but we continually see references to the kingdom of God. And then I spoke parabolically to you for just a little bit about entering into the kingdom of God and being invited to his banqueting table, where his banner over us is love and where every spiritual blessing is laid out upon that table. And I talked to you about things on that table, the meat of the word and the milk of the word, the fruit of the spirit, even the oil and the wine and so much more. I share with you that the table of the kingdom is vast. The blessings of the table of the kingdom of heaven are inexhaustible because every spiritual blessing is at the table. However, the greatest marvel at the table is not the size of the table. It's not even the banqueting room. It's not those things that are spread upon the table, the blessings of the table. But what the marvel of the banqueting table is the host, Jesus Christ himself, King of kings and Lord of lords at the banqueting table. He who has made a way for us to be reconciled to the Most High God. Then I ask you two questions. I ask you, have you accepted your invitation into the kingdom? Have you accepted your invitation? Have you accepted your invitation into the kingdom? Now, maybe you didn't completely recognize that invitation, but maybe it was something as simple as the still small voice of the Lord in your spirit saying, causing you to say within yourself, with the Lord. Have you heard that in your spirit lately? I need to start going to church. Maybe it seemed like a passing thought at the moment, but maybe it wasn't a passing thought. You know, no one comes to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws him. The Lord will use your familiarities to reach you. And maybe the thought came across your mind, if I don't get myself together, I'm going straight to hell. Well, the devil didn't tell you that. That is the Spirit of God drawing on your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he came to you in a way such that you said, I need peace. I need peace. And the Lord is saying, I'm right here. I'm that peace. Maybe you have found that the more you try to run away from the Lord, you keep running into him. You run into his word. You run into him on Facebook. You run into him when you see your pastor, your former pastor, or that pastor you haven't seen for a while coming your way, and part of you wants to go the other way, but you know he saw you. The Lord is continually drawing us to Jesus, drawing us to himself. Maybe you found yourself highly intoxicated one evening, or on a major high, and when you came down or when you came to yourself, it came to you, I've got to get myself together. That was the Lord calling. That was the Lord drawing. Don't reject the calling. Don't reject his drawing. He wants you to come in and have a seat in his kingdom and sit at his banqueting table. Now, I ask you if you have accepted the invitation, but I also ask you whether you appreciate your citizenship in the kingdom of God. Do you appreciate your citizenship enough to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? Do you appreciate your place in the kingdom enough to be an ambassador, to be a light in the world? Do you appreciate your citizenship in the kingdom? And when you think about the message that Jesus Christ preached, he preached it to the Pharisees, the church hierarchy. He preached it to his disciples, and he preached it to his followers. And the message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what I told you last week is that it does not matter what denomination or religious affiliation you have, the message is still the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It doesn't matter whether saved or unsaved, sinner or saint, his message to you and I are still the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Doesn't matter your position in the church, your level of employment, whether you are heterosexual or LGBTQ+, doesn't matter your age, young or old, the message remains the same. The color of your skin does not matter. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, the message is the same to us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again, you might ask, so what does that mean? What does repent mean? It means to relinquish dominion and rule over your own life and submit yourself to the King and the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to the living word of God. Dear friend of mine, Reverend Olivia Walker, I always felt like said it very well. Keep repentance on board. Just as soon as you realize you've done something, said something, thought something, didn't do something that you knew was the will of God, repent. Ask the Lord to give you the strength to do the right thing, the honorable thing, that he will be glorified. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now for today. Life in the kingdom of God. Our focus verse 10 of chapter 6. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son, it's all the kingdom. Are you there yet? Have you ever been traveling with your children, or maybe you were that child at one point and you were on your way someplace, a long trip that you were looking forward to reaching that destination, and you or that child ask, are we there yet? 30 minutes into the ride, are we there yet? An hour into the ride, are we there yet? 2 hours into the ride, are we almost there? When it comes to the kingdom of God, I am asking this morning, are you there yet? Are you abiding in the kingdom? Where is the kingdom of God? We're talking about life in the kingdom. Mine and Reverend Tinsley's former pastor, Bishop Philip Wiley, used to ask us the question, is the kingdom of God now or later? And the answer was always yes. The kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is later. Right now, we consider this. Jesus Christ is sovereign, whether we obey him or not. He is sovereign whether we yield to him or not. Right now, he is in the position of helping, interceding on our behalf. Right now, he is waiting for the time, for the fullness of his kingdom. See, the perfect rule of his physical kingdom is yet to come at the end of the age. And he even now is establishing the righteousness of his kingdom. So where is the kingdom of God? It's among us right now. The kingdom of God is in the midst of us right now as that living organism, not the organization, but that living organism called the church, the body of Christ, the body of believers, the body of those who have submitted themselves to the lordship of him. Where is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is in us and within us. Colossians 1:13 says, God has freed us from the power of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. So as we are in him, we are in the kingdom right now. As we have received him, we are in the kingdom right now. John 18:36 also lets us know that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not of this world. The kingdom is not just of this world. It's not natural. His kingdom is spiritual, yet it manifests itself in humanity as he allows. Spoiler alert for some of us. The kingdom is not ruled by Republicans. It's not ruled by Democrats. It's not ruled by independents. From the time God said, let there be light, and from the time he said, let us make man in our own image, God has been in charge. He has not relinquished his position on the throne. There is an old story or old joke of human arrogance. A scientist picked from among his peers walked up to God and said, God, we've decided we no longer need you. We're to the point where we can clone people, manipulate atoms, build molecules, fly through space, and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go away and mind your own business right now? God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well. How about this? Before I go, let's say we have a human making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, we can handle that. The arrogance of man. But God added, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist nodded, sure, no problem, and bent down and picked up a handful of dirt. God wagged his finger and said, put that down. You go find your own dirt. God is sovereign. It may look like sometime that man is in control, but man is not in control. We can't outdo God. We can't outsmart him. We can't outthink him. We cannot outgive him. And we certainly cannot overtake him. However, he will allow us to overrule his will in us. He will allow us to overrule his will for us. But mind you, that's only for a season. He was God before you and I got here. He will be God after you and I are gone from this earth. And someday, after living in the midst of his creation, in the sphere of the knowledge of him, we will meet him as King of Kings and the righteous judge. Romans 14:17, I think, defines the kingdom of God in such a beautiful way. And it also allows us to know again that the kingdom of God is within us and among us. It says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where does God impart his righteousness? He imparts his righteousness to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. That righteousness shows forth through us. That righteousness shows forth among us. We are the righteousness of God. Where does Jesus release his peace? He releases his peace to us. He releases his peace through us. John 14:17, he said, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Receive my peace. This is the kingdom. He also says that he will give us that peace that passes all understanding. The kingdom of God is among us. Then he says, joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is the joy of Jesus? Once again, in us and radiating from us when we allow it. John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that my joy might be full. That scripture was a revelation scripture for me. It was a delivering scripture for me during a time when I was going through a serious time of stress and depression. And I heard two sermons, I would say, within a two-week period, both talking about the joy of the Lord, the joy of the kingdom. And hearing those messages from this particular scripture released a joy in me that overtook the darkness where I was, that overtook the depression where I was. It released joy once again because I realized that no matter what was going on around me, no matter what was going on inside of me, that the joy of the Lord was still at the bottom of who I was. It was still in the innermost part of my spirit. So I started to just receive from that joy that was on the inside. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now let's consider some things about the kingdom of heaven from Matthew chapter 13 and the parables. Remember, I told you that Jesus' central message was about the kingdom. And I also told you I've been studying the book of Matthew. So you get a part of what's been ministering to me right now. So let's consider some of the parables. The parable of the wheat and the tares lets us know something about the kingdom now and the kingdom at the end of the age. For a season, the righteous and the unrighteous will dwell together. But the day will come when he will remove the wicked, which is the tares, from among the righteous, which are the wheat. And the tares, the unrighteous, he will bind them. This is not good news. To be burned. But the good news is the wheat, those who are righteous, will be taken unto himself. The next parable, another parable, parable of the mustard seed. Now know this, that the first mention of the kingdom of God is not in the New Testament. It is in the Old Testament. We understand and seeing that it is declared that the kingdom of God was to come. And there was an expectation among the prophets to see that kingdom come forth. But let's consider from the time of Jesus when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One Jesus, 12 apostles, then many followers. Consider this, they crucified him. It didn't stop the spread of the kingdom. Most of the disciples were martyred. It didn't stop the spread of the gospel. From what the disciples told to others, the kingdom began to spread and spread. We were put in the lion's den. All kinds of things were done in the name of Christ because there were those who believed without a shadow of a doubt of him being who he is, deity, King of kings, and Lord of lords. They paid a great price. The kingdom continues to spread today, even though there are people who are being persecuted because they named the name of Jesus Christ. Small beginnings, but the kingdom continues to spread. The parable of the leaven lets us know that the righteousness of the kingdom will expand to full measure. And this is that righteous leaven that's being spoken of. It's that the leaven allows us to realize that although the leaven that is put in is small, it's going to do its perfect work and come to full measure. And when we think of full measure of the kingdom of God, it's when we come to that place that we see that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then I look at the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is a priceless treasure to those who find it. In those two parables, one was looking for the treasure and found it. The other wasn't looking for the treasure and found it. What's important is that they found it. And when they found it, the treasure was so precious to them that they were willing to give up everything to possess the kingdom. Are you holding on to anything that won't allow you to have peace with God? Reverend Tinsley ministered a couple of Sundays ago and reminded us of the importance of laying down every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Are you holding on to anything or anyone who is keeping you from dwelling in peace and having peace with God? Are you holding on to something that is robbing you of the joy of the Lord? The enemy, Satan, the kingdom of darkness will make you think that I've got to have this. I've got to have him. I have to have her. Is anything preventing you from having the joy of the Lord? Is there something or someone causing you to compromise what you know to be right and what you know to be God's best? Then there's the parable of the net. And again, we see all the peoples of the world together in one place, and the unrighteous being separated from the righteous, and the unrighteous being cast into the fire. To all who hear my voice, there is a day coming. There is a day coming of the separating of the right and the wrong. And then there's the parable of the sower. Living your best life in the kingdom of God is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And the heart can be hard. The heart can be shallow. The heart can be occupied. Or the heart can be good. How's your heart? And realize this, the heart can, we can speak of the hard heart and be talking about both those who reject Christ, because we know if you rejected the word of God, if you rejected the living word, it's because the heart is hard. There are things that fill the heart so that there's, you just don't want to let him in. The one who rejects him and rejects his word, that's a hard, also have a hard heart. We can have a hard heart when it comes to forgiveness. We know what the word says, but we just don't want to let it go. We just don't want to forgive. We can have a hard heart when it comes to unforgiveness. We can have a hard heart when it comes to submitting to authority. We can have a hard heart when it comes to adulteries and perversions and fornications, because we want what we want. We want to yield to the proclivities of our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our flesh. But there's a price to be paid for a hard heart. Every action we take has a consequence. Every time we yield to our hard-heartedness, every time we yield to our flesh, there's a consequence. We are hard-hearted. We can be hard-hearted when it comes to judging, judging others. We have a tendency to look at others differently than we look at ourselves when we are doing some of the same things. Maybe not in the exact same way, but some of the same things. We tend to be harsh when we are looking at others and judging where they are. We can be hard-hearted when it comes to putting someone else's needs above our own. When we know that the word has told us to esteem others higher than we esteem ourselves. We can become hard-hearted when it comes to applying God's word to a part of our lives that we don't want to give over to his will. How's your heart today? Life in the kingdom is limited. When we have a stony heart, that's a shallow heart. The word hits the heart, but it doesn't stick. Life in the kingdom is limited when we have a thorny heart. That's the occupied heart. That means you have insight. You even know some of the deep things of God, but you just really don't have time for God. You don't have time to do the work. You don't have time to worship. You don't have time to witness. You don't have time to allow him to use you according to the giftings and the talents he's put before you, because there are other things occupying. So his purpose in you is being choked out. But when we have a good heart, when we have that heart that is fertile and wanting to receive the word and the will of God, wanting to hear from the Holy Spirit, that heart that is saying, Lord, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand, then we have a good heart, because then the soil, the word of God, the seed of the word of God has a good place to go into and to be cultivated and to grow and bring forth more life. When we have a good heart, we know that we have a place or in position to have abundant life, not because everything is good, not because everything is going our way, but because we recognize that we have been forgiven and that there is no condemnation in us as we are in Christ Jesus. Our lives are abundant because we come to the place of realizing that whether we're in the midst of something good or in the midst of something going on dark, whether we are in the valley or in the mountaintop, we know that God is working all things together for our good. That's how the good heart brings about allowing you to know that you still have abundant life, even in the midst of the struggles, even in the midst of the trials, because you have a God whom you can trust and a God you can hold on to. And yes, our lives are abundant simply because we trust him. There are some places that we come to in life that we know if God doesn't fix it, it won't be fixed. If the Lord doesn't do the healing's not coming. If God doesn't change the circumstance, no change. Some things are a God thing. And there is nothing you or I can do about it. But pray and wait. Pray and wait and believe to see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. Our lives can be abundant and are abundant because we have fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Living your best life in the kingdom is a matter of the heart and our willingness to submit to the word. See, setting your heart to submit to the things of God is the first step of transforming your mind, your thinking, and getting your body to follow. From the heart to the mind to the body. Condition of the heart. The church, the peoples of the church, we don't talk about the kingdom much anymore. I remember that being a part of the preaching when I was a child, but that's kind of not where we are now. We tend to think about the kingdom of heaven as the sweet by and by, or after we leave this side, over yonder in the sky. That's the kingdom of God. But we have to come to that place of possessing and knowing that we are a part of the kingdom of God right now, a part of the body of Christ, the church. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of time, and we are citizens of eternity. See, we have dual citizenship. We are here on the earth, but the word of God says that we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have a dual citizenship. This place where we are right now is not our home. This is our place of preparation. This is our place of lining up with the word of God. This is our place of showing forth the kingdom of God. Do you know your permanent address? We are citizens of the earth. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of time. We are citizens of eternity. Live for eternity. We will be there so much longer than we will be on this side. Now, in our lives and even in the preaching and the teaching, oftentimes we are focused on the benefits of the kingdom, the promises of God, the spiritual blessings. We are focused on all things working together for good. We're focused on if God be for us, who can be against us. We are focused on the battle is not ours, but the Lord, because we're always going through something. And those things are all good. And we're also focused on prosperity and how the Lord can bless his people and how we can have blessings through obedience. And how do we say it? When praises go up, blessings come down. So we are focused on worshiping him. All of those things are good. But remember that we are doing them because we are part of the kingdom of God. Much of our focus also is on our humanity and the cares of this temporal life. Life is hard sometimes. And in my spirit, I just heard someone say, yes, it is. Because life is hard for you right now. Life throws us curveballs. Life takes us down dead end streets. Life sometimes carries us over major potholes that seems to throw all of the plans of our lives out of balance. We're dealing with deep debt. We're dealing with unhealthy, toxic relationships. We're dealing with depressions and loneliness and anger and fears and sickness. All while we are in the kingdom of God, we're dealing with being consumed by habits that we just can't seem to break. We know that habit's not doing us any good, but we just can't seem to shake it loose. The kingdom of God is righteous. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord continually to help you to break that cycle. Reject what it is, that habit that is holding you so tightly, so that you can embrace all that the Lord has for us. Thy kingdom come in this earthen vessel, O God. Sometimes we are focused on accumulating more toys or making more money or just simply focused on me, myself, and I. All of those things are a part of natural life, but we can't forget about the kingdom. If the kingdom was the center of the message of Jesus, it needs to be the center of our lives. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he told them to pray in this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Father God, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has instructed us to pray for his kingdom to come. So that says of you and I that we must live as a citizen of the kingdom. We must live as though we are living in the kingdom of life and the kingdom of light and the kingdom of love, like we are part of that kingdom. Amen. Living as ambassadors of righteousness, representatives of righteousness and for righteousness. We have to be ambassadors, representatives of God's peace and for his peace. We have to be ambassadors, living as ambassadors of his joy and for his joy. Are you an ambassador in the kingdom of God? Are you an ambassador for the Lord? When you go on the job, is there something different about you? Are you an ambassador of the light of the kingdom of God in your place of fellowship. When you walk in, does anyone have a sense that the Spirit of God just walked in the room because you walked in? Are you an ambassador in your home for the kingdom of God? Are you a representative of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost because the kingdom of God is within you? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come forth, thy will be done. I had mentioned that this was going to be a two-part message, but actually it's going to be three parts. Next week, we're going to focus on the citizens of the kingdom. Thy will be done. And I want to invite you as you go through this week, if you haven't come into the kingdom, even this day, because today is the day of salvation, if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your life and let him know that you want to repent of sin, you realize that you have been living out of the flesh. You've been living in darkness. You've been living not according to his will. And you know your heart's not right. Then I want to invite you to ask Jesus to come in and take place, to take place on the throne of your heart. As that song that is saying, I believe by Carrie Underwood, allow Jesus to take the wheel of your life and get you on that road that you need to be on, that straight and narrow road. We want to think that the road is wide, but that's not what the word says. The word says that the way, the road is narrow, but it's not too narrow for you. I think of the song that says there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there is room at the cross. There is room in the kingdom for you. And if you're at that place, you know that you are in the kingdom, but you've been slipping, you've been backsliding, you know that things just aren't right. The Lord is a forgiving Lord. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. But he doesn't stop at just forgiving us. He allows his Spirit to move in us and help us to step away from that thing that's been holding us back, that thing that's oppressing us, and embrace his kingdom. And embrace his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I invite you into the kingdom. If you're already in the kingdom, I invite you to sit at the table and partake of the spiritual blessings that he's given to all of us. I'm going to ask Reverend Tinsley to join me, and we're going to close this morning with the same song that we closed with last week, a song that the Lord gave me some time ago, but just is so appropriate for the message that he has put on my heart. And I do pray that your spirit has been touched and blessed. Just before we sing, let me just pray briefly. Father God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the anointing, Lord God. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage, Lord God. We thank you because the anointing destroys the yoke and the bondage of that thing is released. We thank you, Lord, that you give rest to the people of God in your kingdom. For you said there is a rest to the people of God, and that rest comes as we trust you. Even though we may feel like we are in the valley of the shadow of death, there is a rest, there is a peace, there is a joy to the people of God. So I thank you, Lord God, just for allowing us to be encouraged and setting our minds, Lord, to allow your kingdom to come forth in our earthen vessels, to allow your will to be done in our earthen vessels. And Lord, if we're on the mountaintop places of our lives, help us to have that heart and spirit to touch somebody else's life, to give them joy and to give them peace. and to help bring forth righteousness in their lives.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Father God, I thank you for every family, and I ask you to meet each one of us as families, as individuals, as parts of the body of Christ, even as those that have not yielded to you. Meet us, Lord, at the place of our need. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. Amen.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. My righteousness I have given to you, that you might walk in holiness. Others are looking to you for a standard in me. So walk upright, be steadfast, cause none to stumble. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Trust in my word, it will give you peace. Partake of it, write it on the table of your heart. Then when trouble comes, you won't be cast down, because your inward man is being renewed day by day. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. With the oil of joy, I anoint my people like the light of. Just worship and praise my name every day of your life. As you lift me up, I'll lift you up. Together we'll reign. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling or falling, and who is able to present us faultless before the all-wise God our Father, to him be glory and honor and majesty forever and ever. Amen.